Hey now, baby, let the room.
Welcome everyone to the 70s Big Podcast. Today I've got Ben Claridad on the phone, and we have a jolly conversation, so let's get on with it. All right, Ben's finally on the computer here. How you doing, Ben?
Good, how you doing, Justin?
I'm delightful, sir. Thank you for asking. So you just got, when did you get back? Yesterday?
I got back on Monday morning.
Okay, and well, obviously we're talking about the USAW Senior Nationals, the 2011 Senior Nationals. How was this trip compared to last year?
This trip was, well, first of all, Iowa is fucking humid. It was terrible out there. So we had to walk from our hotel to the venue site. It's probably about half a mile. By the time you get to the venue site, you're just drenched in sweat. I especially was because I was packing some extra weight. You know, I put on a few pounds for this meet, and I was miserable outside, dude. But it's always nice, you know, just traveling elsewhere and, you know, seeing other parts of the country and, you know, lifting and, of course, meeting other lifters and stuff.
I will point out that Iowa's humidity is bush league compared to the Southeast, which is where I'm from.
Yeah, well, you know, that sucks for you.
But it is a huge increase in relative humidity compared to Sacramento.
Yeah, dude.
This year, you pushed your total up compared to last year. What'd you total last year?
Last year at Nationals, I snatched 132 and clean and jerked 160. So, you know, this year I snatched 143, which is a meet PR snatch, and clean and jerked. All right, well, I clean and jerked 167 in the competition, okay? But if you look at the USAW site, it says I clean and jerked 165. I don't know how that happened. I asked, like, three officials after the meet, you know, what was up with the scoreboard, and all three of them said that it was a technical malfunction and it would be fixed when it posted online, which it wasn't. So I called, you know, called a couple people, I emailed a few people, and one person got back to me and they said that they would look into it, which basically means to fuck off. So I got 167, and I'm going to stick with that.
Well, I'm going to call it a 310 total instead of 308.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better than 308.
Yeah. Basically. I mean, you basically just had an 18-kilo PR in a year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as...
You know, going into this, I didn't expect that I would be... That I would make much more than my openers, honestly, because, you know, this last 4 weeks, you know, have been pretty tough as far as training is concerned. I haven't been able to get too much quality training time in, just for a few different reasons.
I mean, one of the reasons was you had a back injury or a back spasm, right?
Yeah, the week before I left, I was snatching 50 kilos, just warming up, you know, super light, and then, you know, I was standing up out of the hole, and just back seized up. I was on the ground for about half hour, 45 minutes. Not pleasant. I had a client after that. Was not pleasant, you know. So I took a few days off. You know, I went real light that weekend, you know, and, you know, just worked my way up, back up slowly, and, you know, I just hoped for the best. But I was hoping by the time I got down there that I would be fully healed, which I, for the most part, was.
So what happened in the whole month before? Were there, like, other life aspects getting in the way, or was it just the training that was in a rut?
The last good day I had of training was when I cleaned and jerked that. Well, when I cleaned and jerked that 175 and cleaned that 182, on that Saturday, and after that, you know, I don't know whether it was, you know, mental or whatever, but my training just wasn't good. My body was hurting, and, you know, I had a meet at my home gym, maybe a week or so after that, and I just, you know, I bombed out. It wasn't pretty, you know. Which is all, it always sucks because it's at your home gym, you know, it's like, you're like a fucking bitch in front of all your people, you know?
Right.
So, that wasn't good. And then just, I was picking up extra hours at work, which is a good thing, you know, but, you know, when you're doing, at the time I was doing double day training sessions. And if you do double days, anybody, the most important part of the double day is getting the rest in between your training sessions. So that wasn't happening. And then, you know, just a bunch of other, you know, personal stuff. School has been an issue for me, and then, you know, just general life stuff that everybody has to deal with, you know.
Right. So how was the meet itself? I mean, Nationals, did you meet any new cool dudes that you met on the internet and let come stay at your house a few months later?
Like you mean like last year? You mean like exactly a year last year? No, I mean you see faces that you've seen before at other national meets. You know, I'm starting to recognize guys now. I'm not sure if anybody recognizes me. I mean, I'm sure they do. I mean, they see my huge biceps, but you know, I'm starting to recognize guys. I saw Pat Mendez, who ended up being he looked like a pretty cool dude. I was really impressed with how he lifted. If you see any videos of him, he looked so nonchalant when he lifted, you know, those big ass weights, which was pretty cool to me. He and his buddies, they had like this little call like they would do before he lifted. It was like a yeah. Like right before he lifted, and he would be like, yeah, like, it was pretty funny.
So are you going to start doing that? Except is you going
to
be
probably. You know, I'm thinking I might try to start my own thing. I haven't decided what it's going to be yet, but it's got to be something that I do only. You know, I can't go around copying other people's style.
You should, if you had your hair, you could have run your fingers through your hair right before you lifted.
Yeah, you know, I have this trademark celebration clean that I do sometimes, but
is it called a freak out?
Well, what you do is you clean it, except you release one arm and you point at a member in the audience, okay? You point at a member in the audience, and then you, as you're standing up, you re-rack the clean and yell out, oh yeah.
Okay.
and then you jerk and then you celebrate. So
what you should do is then hit a front double by after that.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of goes without saying.
Okay.
You should be wearing, you know, some sort of cut-off shirt. If you could manage it, try to get some jean shorts cut off. You know, I'm not sure. I've never lifted in that before, but I think that would look pretty cool. Possibly some work boots, you know.
With high socks that go up halfway up your calf?
Maybe some suspenders. just throwing it out there. I don't know.
A lot of people don't know that at these bigger meets, there's two sessions. And was that the B session of the 105 plus?
Yeah, I was in the B session of the super heavies. Yeah, so I bumped up to the super heavies, and I obviously didn't post a big total as a super heavy, which, you know, it's my best total so far, but as a super heavy, it's not that good, you know. So I was in the B session with about half. I think there was 15 supers total, and I was with the bottom 8 or 9 guys.
And didn't you win that session, though? Of those guys, you won that one?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's kind of cool. What was your overall ranking? Was it 8th or so?
I took 8th overall. I think Zach Schulander bombed out, so I took 8th.
And then last year, you were 6th overall in the 105s, I think, right?
Yeah. I haven't actually checked to see how I would place as a 105 this year, but probably I would have done better than 8th place, which is, you know, it's whatever. I mean, I went there to score team points. And incidentally, you know what happened is, so I guess apparently USAW didn't get our team entry or something. Like, something that screwed up. They didn't get our team entry, but we would have scored, like, second place or something.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Okay, so Ben lifts for Hassle-Free Barbell. And that's run by, is it Paul and Kevin that run that?
Yeah, Paul and Kevin Doherty.
And I never met Kevin. I'm sure he's a good guy because his brother Paul is a real cool guy. He was at last year's at Nationals, and he handled me on the clean and jerk, and that helped me hit, I think, a meet PR at the time. He's a cool dude, and they have real good programs in high schools. Is Kevin's in a high school?
Yeah, Kevin is also at a high school.
Okay, so they're
He had a lot of boys. He coaches mostly girls now. I think all of them do really well, all the younger ones. And Chioma Amici, she's also his lifter. She's a nice, she's a really good lifter.
Yeah, Paul and Kevin are good dudes. So Hassle-Free Barbell didn't get their team entry, wasn't submitted then?
Yeah, so, something like that. I talked to my coach about it. He said that apparently since somebody was overseas, like Se Vang, he's one of the lifters, since he couldn't register for something, so I actually don't know anything about it.
Okay, so whatever happened, Hassle-Free Barbell wasn't registered as a team, but the lifters were there. You guys would have had the points to get second place, and part of the reason you went to super heavy was to score points for Hassle-Free, is that right?
Yeah, that's why I went.
And what'd you weigh in that day?
113.7 kilos. that's a lot for me. I haven't weighed that much since I was like 17.
It's a little over 250.
250.8 pounds.
You're walking around at 250. How'd that feel?
I felt pretty fucking big, dude. I think I might have set a record this last couple weeks for eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's been my food of choice. I eat a lot of pancakes. Of course, you know a lot of protein. You know, whatever I can get. You know, a lot of eggs, a lot of chicken. Red meat whenever I can get it. You know.
Isn't breakfast food your go-to weight gaining food?
Breakfast food is my favorite food ever. So yeah, and it's my favorite weight gaining food too. Biscuits and gravy and chicken fried steak. Foods like that I think are just amazing, just to eat and also for putting on weight.
Yeah. So okay, so you weighed in around 250 at the meet.
Yeah.
You normally would walk around, what, 232, 235-ish, right?
Yeah, just above the 105, you know, maybe like 106, 107 kilos. Not too heavier than what I would have to diet down to.
So what do you like to weigh?
What do I like to weigh? 235. I think it's a nice weight for me. I don't feel too fat. I walk around with my shirt off and, you know, I feel pretty good about myself, you know.
And do you see yourself as staying in the 105s and until further notice?
Yeah, probably 105. I think I rank around the same as a super or as a 105 because I don't think that there's that many guys out there. 94 kilo class is stacked right now. Of course, you know, John North, Jared Fleming, all those guys, they're putting up big ass numbers. So it would make no sense for me to diet down to a 94.
Right.
So I think 105 is my weight.
So you're going to keep getting swole and get bigger at 235 pretty much.
Yeah, just pretty much get yoked out of my mind.
You do a lot of meets. How many meets overall have you done?
Overall?
Sure.
I don't know. My first meet was November of 05. Let's say I've been doing, I don't know, 9 meets a year? I don't know. Fucking a lot of meets. I'm a pretty seasoned.
How many meets a year?
I don't know, like between 6 and 9, I'd say.
Oh shit! So you've done like over 30 of them then, right?
There's like in the PWA, like in Northern California, there's just like a lot of meets that you can go to, and I think that I usually try to go to as many as I can, just because I just treat it like a workout, and I just I think any platform experience is good experience. You know what I mean?
That's true. So when you step on the platform at Nationals, this was only the second Nationals, right?
Yeah.
And have you been to the American Open?
Yeah, last year. I went to the American Open last year. I didn't do so hot. But yeah, the American Open is a cool meet. It's pretty cool.
So you've been to kind of 3 national meets, and do you think that all of that experience you got at these 3 national meets, that you were kind of unfazed by the whole national aspect of it, or was it bigger to you because they were national meets?
I always treat national meets with like a lot more respect. I'll open, you know, I'll open a lot more conservatively, you know, and I usually do pretty well in national meets. I think probably because of, you know, how many local meets I do.
You would say that from doing, I mean, you've done at least 30 meets. You would say that all of that experience in an actual competitive format has helped you get ready for that national stage?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, you know, just because, even at national meets, you know, like, the cards in the back get fucked up or something happens, and I think that just, you know, all that, you know, all the shit that goes on at local meets, like, you know, like, say there's, like, 30 lifters in a session or something, I think it makes you more ready to adjust, you know, just compete and get on the platform, you know what I mean?
Right, and one example for me, I know, and I've only done a few meets, I've probably done 1/6 the meets you have. I've done some local meets in North Texas that, you know, may have only had 15, 20 lifters in it. And when I went to Nationals, when I snatched, I had to wait about 10 or 12 minutes between my opening attempt and my second attempt. And I missed my second attempt because I was all cold. And that had never happened to me in training or in a meet setting. So that was definitely weird. And
yeah.
On clean and jerk, Paul actually had me, you know, power clean and jerk like 100 kilos, just in between reps just to stay warm. And that really helped a lot, I think. But that kind of stuff. And then you guys probably have big, big local meets in Northern California, right?
Yeah, we actually, I think Northern California is a pretty big, for as far as Olympic weightlifting being big somewhere, I think Northern California is, you know, we have a lot of pretty big meets here.
Right.
Yeah. pretty cool.
So you've been down to hang out at California Strength, lifting with Donnie and John and yep. Henley. What are those guys like?
Really intense training environment. I love it. Pretty much like right when you walk in the gym, you just kind of you get the sense that this is a competitive environment. I better bring my A game today. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like that. Whenever I walk in there, I always think like, this is the day that I snatch 150 kilos and clean and jerk 180. Like that's just the mindset that you gotta have because everybody else there is already doing that. You know what I mean? So it's like you don't want to be the one guy who sucks. You know,
who has a shitty day when everybody's throwing up big weight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's kind of the one thing that I'm missing from my besides the coach, you know, like a coach, you know, steady coach to work with. I don't really have many other guys, or I really don't have any other guys my size to train with on a consistent basis, you know. So I go down there for the competitive environment, and, you know, of course, you know, any input that Glenn has is much appreciated. So
Ben doesn't have a regular coach. Would you refer to Paul as your, you know, your meat coach?
Yeah, I mean, I like the way that Paul handles me at meets. But you know, I've pretty much been without a coach for a couple years. I mean, I write my own programs. If you call whatever I do a program, I mean, I take care of myself, and if I can get help at meets, I take it. You know what I mean?
Right. That's one thing that I noticed after meeting you was, I guess, what you do in the gym. So you said whatever you do is called programming. What would you say is your kind of method for training? In other words, what's your program like?
When I'm training for a meet, I'll try to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'll train twice a day. You know, the first session, you know, it might just be I might just take it up to a single on my snatch and clean and jerk, and then I'll go heavier at night and maybe do a little bit more volume work, you know. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'll snatch and clean and jerk. Tuesday, Thursday, I'll power snatch, power clean and jerk. Saturday, I'll, you know, snatch, clean, jerk again, but I'll go a little bit lighter and then I'll squat. I'll try to get squats in at least twice a week. I'll probably do a lot more squatting since I don't have a big meet coming up anytime soon. So, you know, I think to handle all that, all the snatches and clean jerks, you need to have a big squat. You know, I think that's actually the primary reason why you would do it. So, you know, when you're in the training and you're, you know, you've done, you know, 20 clean jerks in a row, that you're not, you know, dead, you know.
Sure.
So, and I, you know, I do other stuff too, just mostly for fun. You know, I honestly don't think much else helps you other than snatching and clean jerking and squatting, because I've done a lot of other stuff, and I think when I switched over to the more you do the lifts and you get stronger by squatting, I think that's when my numbers started to jump up a little bit, you know?
Right. And you've been doing this for, geez, almost 6 years now. And
yeah, well, I've been training in this manner for, well, after Nationals last summer. After Nationals last summer, I kind of looked at what I was doing and I was like, well, what do I suck at? Oh, snatches and clean jerks. I should probably do more than that,
right,
you know? So after the Nationals last summer, I made some pretty big gains. You know, I snatched 140, clean jerked, you know, like 165 last summer, and I actually started to feel like a real weightlifter, you know.
Right.
Which
yeah, and then you've also, I mean, you said earlier you clean and jerked 175, which is huge, and then you said you cleaned, was it 182?
Cleaned 182. I went from 175. I got the clean and jerk. Rob Blackwell was with me, and he's like, dude, just fucking nut up and go for the 182. Just get the 400 pounds. You know what I mean?
So it's you broke the clean barrier with 182.
Yeah.
That means that the clean and jerk will soon follow.
Yeah.
After the meet last year, your numbers started pushing up, and you were hitting numbers and just training consistently. What were you doing before that? You know, in the few years leading up to getting to your
before
first.
Before that, I was doing pretty much a general Olympic weightlifting program. You know, the lifts, you know, pulls, squats, front squats, you know, overhead stuff, overhead squats. I think that I've got the biggest overhead squat on YouTube, which isn't saying much because I know that Donnie and all the other guys have overhead squatted a lot more. But, you know, I thought to myself, I snatch 130 right now and I overhead squat 190, you know what I mean? Like, why am I doing this?
Right.
You know? So I cut out whatever I need to, and I add stuff in whenever I need to. You know, I don't really follow one methodology.
What I've always told people is that early on when someone's first starting, if they don't have a good base of musculature and strength, and that's the key, if they don't have a good base of musculature and strength, that they might need to include these other exercises. Maybe deadlifting more often than a weightlifter would, and maybe adding some ancillary like pressing and maybe even benching to establish that musculature. But then when someone has been training for a few years or has that base of musculature, in this case you're the example, then working primarily on the lifts and having more of that funneled approach is obviously going to be the thing that improves their lifts.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. If you tell a 17-year-old kid that, oh, all right, well, you're an Olympic weightlifter now, all you do is snatch, clean, jerk, and squat, nothing else, they would probably tell you to fuck off and go do some bench press or something, So, I mean, I think if you're trying to train Olympic weightlifters, and I'm not an expert or anything, but I like weightlifting and I'm involved in the sport, you include more variations, in the beginning, in the first 2 to 3 years, snatches, hang snatches, stuff from the power, pulls, like all the different type of pulls, RDLs, overhead squats, rack supports, all that stuff, jerk supports, and I think all that stuff is good just because it, puts a little bit more muscles on you. Of course, you need to have muscles if you're going to lift weights, and it's just teaches you how to handle your body better. And obviously, once you get to the higher numbers, then, you look at what other people are doing, and to my knowledge, most other people are doing more snatches and clean jerks than what I was doing, that's why I decided to start doing.
It's not that we're looking at what someone who's stronger than us is doing and saying, okay, we need to do that. It's that, generally speaking, anybody who is doing better at the sport is doing snatch, clean and jerk, squatting. And that doesn't mean that other exercises may not be involved, but the primary focus is going to be on those types of exercises and pushing those up, assuming the strength and the musculature are there. So,
yeah, and I'm not saying don't do pulls or RDLs. I love RDLs. It's just I felt like my time personally was better spent doing the lifts.
Especially at that point, because I mean you were at the point where you were snatching around a little over 130, and clean and jerk around 160, and at that point it's time to get serious. Come on, let's get serious.
Yeah, come on, let's do this.
How important is weightlifting to you in your life?
I love it. It's just one of those things where it's just become so much a part of how I live. It's just kind of like everything else. I've kind of set up my life so everything else kind of revolves around that. I work in a gym so I can, I can lift weights, and I have a place to train. And I train people and I try to include as much weightlifting as I can in that. It's very much a part of what I'm doing right now. And I've completely fallen in love with the sport. I think it's great, and it's cool. I love weightlifting.
Yeah, and the one cool thing about you is that you're pretty laid back dude. Like you don't look down on other people because they don't weightlift or because they do something else. You're just like, yeah, that's cool. I like the weightlift and that's cool too.
Yeah, I think that, I'm not trying to, point anybody out. I'm just saying, I think a lot of weightlifters, they kind of got their nose up in the air. Like, I'm a weightlifter. I'm not, I don't do this. I practice the classic lifts, It's like, come on, dude. Like, you need to chill out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I like weightlifting, just as much as the next guy. But I'm not going to say I will never bicep curl. I'm never going to do pull-ups. You know what I mean? I'm never going to bench press, because it's kind of like, why try to separate yourself from all these? Why alienate weightlifting from everything else that's fitness? You know what I mean? I think that if you're going to try to promote the sport of weightlifting, you should kind of see what everybody else is doing, kind of relate to that.
Weightlifting is such a big part of your life, but you also have other stuff going on in your life. You said you coach. Do you still coach at a few different gyms?
I'm primarily at one gym right now, Midtown Strength and Conditioning in Sacramento.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to Camilo.
Heyo, Camilo, what's up, buddy?
He's a cool dude. He owns that gym. AC and I worked out in that gym. We trained in that gym, last August. And it's a real good gym. We didn't have a whole bunch of people there, but we trained with you, and it was a lot of fun. And that's a badass gym. It's a, they got a lot of stuff going on in there. And
yeah,
there's powerlifting.
Cool. I love the environment. A lot of art hanging on the walls. There's just a bunch. You feel like this is, you're in a place to lift weights. Like, it's got the concrete floors, AstroTurf. It's got we just put in these not really nice platforms. Well, all right, well, I didn't put them in, but, you know, we had our buddies put in some platforms and stuff, you know, and we got the super training guys, like, in the room next door, so it's like, it's a place where people go to train, you know what I mean? It's not a lot of bullshitting going around.
Right.
Except when I bullshit.
And is weightlifting on the rise since I've been there? Because you've been training there and coaching people?
Yeah, dude. You know, we put in the platforms, we got, you know, kilo plates, we got, you know, barbells that spin, so it's like, people come there to do weightlifting, you know, it's, you know, we got guys coming from different CrossFit gyms in the area. Yeah, I think weightlifting is on the rise in Sacramento in general.
Yeah, especially in North California, there's a lot of spark for people to get involved in weightlifting there. So you coach, and then originally I had pestered you about starting some kind of website to put your art up on the website, and you made a blog and stuff, and now it's more of like a training blog, but you still add some of your artwork every now and then. How often do you get to draw or paint or whatever?
I get in these modes where I'll do something maybe every night, but, you know, maybe that'll happen, you know, once every couple months, you know. I try to get something out at least once a week. It doesn't always happen, you know. I work with mostly pen and ink just because it's quick, it's easy, you know. It's not a lot of cleanup involved, you know. You know when you don't have a lot of time, you know, it's a nice medium to work with.
Right.
You know, it's fun.
When did you start drawing, or have you always drawn?
I was that kid in grade school that could draw pictures pretty good. You know, I was that kid. I would sit down on the bench at recesses and I would draw pictures, and people would ask me to draw stuff for them, and that's what I would do when I was growing up. So I've been drawing for a while. I was a pretty big fan of comic books as a kid, still am. I kind of branched out of that, and I work mostly with a figure just because that's what I'm interested in.
What do you have any projects on right now? Like, and we talked about some projects you had before, and then you had a comic book. Was it Samurai Obama or something?
I had this really great idea to have a black and white comic, you know, just for ease of production, you know. I just really wanted to make something. I thought it would be great to have a comic of Barack Obama fighting zombies with a samurai sword. You know, no political whatever, you know, just, I just thought it'd be cool to see him, you know, fucking some shit up with a samurai sword, you know. So, you know, everybody hates zombies, so I figured, you know, let's do that, you know. So I got right to work on the artwork for that. I put out a few pages, but the problem was that I didn't write the story yet, so I was kind of writing the story as I was drawing the pictures. And so the problem, you know, when you do that is you end up not finishing, because that's a really dumb idea.
do you have any other projects that you're working on?
Yeah, all right, so I learned my lesson from that project. So I started another project. I wanted to write a children's story, right? So I wrote this fucking badass children's story, okay? I went to work on the story. I put out, you know, something I really, really felt strongly about, you know, for this children's story. And I have yet to do any artwork for it. But the most important part is the story is like 90% done. I think it's in its third draft stage right now, and I have a written product. So
yeah, I've actually read it and edited it, and we haven't talked about it yet, but we will
talk about it.
A good one. I think that it especially because you're doing watercolors for the artwork, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna do watercolors.
So I think that it would work pretty well, and I actually think that it would get picked up.
I don't know. I want it done, and I want people to be able to see it in some capacity. You know what I mean? I don't know how I'm going to finish it or release it or whatever, but I just want other people to be able to see it, because, you know, I want to be able to make stuff. I like making stuff.
Right.
You know?
And hopefully I can bother you enough to keep making stuff, because
keep bothering me.
Because you're good at it, and I think that could be a regular part of your life, depending on how much weightlifting gets the emphasis, I guess. It's pretty much weightlifting, work, and art, and a little bit of school added on, right?
That's pretty much my life, yeah. It's pretty cool.
All right, man. Well, appreciate you coming on the 70s Big Podcast.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for interviewing me, dude. And that's been really special.
Congratulations with your PR total at Nationals.
Thank you.
And have fun with not eating tons of pancakes and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to drop back down to 235-ish.
Yeah, I've actually gotten to work on that already, doing the meet and leaves thing right now. You know, it's kind of fun to be able to do other stuff besides weightlifting for at least a little bit.
Are you going to train differently right now, or are you just going to eat paleo-ish type shit?
Right now I'm just kind of having fun and just doing other stuff just because I never get to do that, you know. I did some tire flips and some farmer's walks or whatever. Just random stuff just because I'm just sick of weightlifting right now.
Yeah, it's good because Dr. Kilgore told me that the Russians would have a week of play where they would play racquetball or ride bikes or whatever and just not worry about lifting for a week or two.
I think that's a part of training. I would argue that.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you coming on, man. You got anything else to say?
Happy anniversary. It's been 1 year since I've known you. I hope you're still not drinking Muscle Milk Light because it's not 70s Big.
Did I drink that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was... My girlfriend got that for me for the meet.
Yeah. That's what you said a year ago. I remember.
No, I don't drink Muscle Milk because it's a stupid product. But, all right, now we're done after you insulted me. Thanks for coming on. I love you, Ben Claridad.
All right, see you.